beloved and holy and only child of our Heavenly Father, child of the one source, child of light, divine. That is who you are. Take it deeply within the consciousness and contemplate what that means. I am the one known as Jeshua ben Joseph. Jesus, you have called me. And it is in great joy that I come to abide with you this evening in your timing, as you have chosen once again to call me forth. Always, as I have said in my greeting, great joy of reunion, great joy of remembrance. To be in your presence once again and to have that spark of remembrance come alive within you, it is truly a miracle, an awesome miracle to behold. And I thank you for it. I thank you for making trek to be in this place and to share with each other. It was not easy for some of you to make trek, to come, to decide to be here. And yet there was a nudging that you tried to ignore, and it kept coming back, and you had to come. There was something that just said, I have to be there. I'm not sure why. Or maybe you thought you knew why, and then later on you find that there are other reasons that you came. But it is truly a great joy to be able to speak with you in this way and to have that spark of remembrance come alive to the place where the little ducklings come forth on the arms and the legs. And you call them the goosebumps. Now, beloved brother, would you have a question in this evening? There has been a rumor that you have a question.
Yes. I would appreciate if you comment about herbs like garlic and onions, if people consume those herbs and how the ascended beings such as yourself feel around those people who have consumed these herbs.
Truly, it does not affect ascended beings. There is a belief that is spread that ascended beings are the same as the human beings who, if you have consumed a bit of the garlic or the heavy spices, sometimes ones will come up to you and then, oh my goodness, you know, they step back. Ascended beings do not feel that at all. What I see is your divinity. I see the spark of love in your eyes. I feel the beating of your heart that loves and lives only to love. And as far as the aromas, let us not worry about that. In my day and time, when we traveled in the desert, there was much of aroma. And garlic did not matter. But it is a good question to ask because it allows one to get a feeling of the humanness and the human transference of how humans might feel about something, and then to transfer that and to say, well, ascended beings are not going to like the heavy spices, the garlic, the onion, whatever, that is going to assail them, and they're not going to be. But that is not what we concentrate on. That is not what we see. That is not what we feel. We feel the essence of you, the love of you. We feel the light that sparkles always. And the love that comes forth and you share with each other and you share with me. That is what is important. So do not worry. Ascended beings, if we have ascended, we have ascended the humanness. And we truly honor the humanness, the way ones will choose to think themselves limited within body and body experiences, and yet to be the divine self that allows that belief for a time period, so that you can serve the brothers and sisters who yet believe that there can be limits, boundaries, qualifications. But ascended beings, that is not what we see. So go ahead and eat the garlic. Go ahead and eat onions.
Get stinky with me, okay?
And from time to time, if you had traveled with camels, you would not worry about the different scents. It is good that you can laugh. Laughter opens the heart chakra. If there is ever a time when you are feeling a bit closed and you want to change perspective and open the heart, find a joke of some sort, a funny story, or remember something funny that you have done or someone else has done, and concentrate on that and begin to laugh, even if you have to imagine it. Start with the laughter. You have beloved elder has an exercise that he does this from time to time, where he will start laughing. And you played this game with each other sometimes, where one person will start laughing, and you don't know what they're laughing at, but it becomes contagious. And then you begin laughing, and the next person laughing, etc., and it spreads. If you ever want to open the heart, and you're feeling like the world is too much with you, laugh. Find something that you can laugh about, even if you have to start just acting. And you're all great actors and actresses. You play your drama really, really well. That is what ascended masters watch. And we applaud from the wings and we say, boy, she is such a great drama queen. She can play the highest role and she can play the lowest role and everything in between. And it is great, it is wonderful to see how you can take upon yourself a scripting and how then at one point you jump off of the scripting and you do some improv, and people then who are in the play with you have to do a wee bit of searching as to what page is he on? What hairdresser does he go to? Most wonderful head of hair. It is wonderful to behold the smile on your face, to see the love light in your eyes, to know that truly you are living from your heart. Yes, there is the human drama. That is what you have signed up for. You have said, I'm going to live the human drama. I'm going to know the limitations of human drama so that I can ascend past them, so that I can be truly the divine one that I am. And that is what you are doing when you come together in meetings such as this. You allow yourselves to ascend into love. And if you ascend on the waft of the garlic, that is okay as well. Now, we were speaking last evening about before time began, how you have been and will extend beyond time. When the purpose of time has been completed, you will still be. The loved ones, no matter what their belief has been in a certain lifetime, find that when they have released the body, the consciousness is still there. And many are surprised to find themselves still alive. And they wonder, what? Why? Because they have been taught, many of them, that when they release the body, they go into a dark void, and that is all there is. You only have one time, lifetime around. Well, that certainly is not true. I taught that in my day and time when we spoke, and it has been pretty much erased out of your holy scriptures. But you have lived multitudinous lifetimes. You have played with each other. You have fought with each other, verbally and physically. You have known the heights and the lowest points with each other. And you have also done the improv, where all of a sudden you decided, enough of this. I'm going to do something different. And, as I have said, the other ones in the scripting with you, they have wondered, where are we in the scripting? What page? And they have to go leafing through the script to find Where is she? Where is he? What is he doing now? How has he changed? There is something different about him. And yes, there is. All of you are calling forth a depth of remembrance, coming to that place of acknowledging I am much more than the body, much more than the personality, much more than just this lifetime, much more than what my teachers have told me, much more than what the parents and the peers have said that I could be. Because many of you have worked with the image that the parents have given to you. Quite often parents, well-meaning, have instructed you how to be more perfect. And you heard that you weren't perfect. Therefore, you had to strive a little bit harder. And the message you took from that was, I'm not perfect. And so I have to try harder. The parents, as I have said, oftentimes, well-meaning or neutral meaning, have given to you suggestions, sometimes quite forcefully, as to how you could better yourself. So you have all known low self-image, and you have all worked to come to a place of accepting, this is who I am as a personality, and to be okay with it. To say, okay, fat thighs and all, this is me. Maybe I don't have all of the attributes of the models and so forth, or the most thick head of hair. But this is me, and I am happy with me. And when you come to that place, it opens a door for you, a door that allows you to walk through into the understanding and reclaiming of your whole self, your holy self. I have a question for you. You have come to a place of understanding that much of your religious philosophical teaching has taught you about a God that is made in your likeness. This God gets angry. This God judges. This God is jealous. You have that written in your holy scriptures, and many of your rabbis, teachers, priests have told you over and over that God is a vengeful God, that God is made in human image. They don't say that, but it is how it is interpreted. God is the energy that you are, the creative isness that you are. It is neither positive, negative, judgeful, vengeful. It's not even loving. It is love. And that is what you are. I have likened it to love because even on the human plane, when you fall in love, there is such a feeling of expansion, such a feeling of losing the identity with small self, that you want to be with that other person all of the time. You want to know what they are thinking, what they are feeling, and you are so caught up in wanting to share with them. You love them. You have fallen in love with them. So I have likened it to love, because love is expansive. But human love is but the tip of the iceberg. Love itself, and I use it as a concept, as an idea, as a pointer, a road sign, if you will. Love itself is the energy that is expansive, that is ongoing, that is forever creating, and will forever be creating. You live in a reality that has agreed that you will know duality, that you will know things that are not so good. And perhaps if you haven't behaved very well in the afterlife, you're going to go to a place that's going to cleanse you and purify you and get the hell out of you. So you have that belief, and then all of the in-between gradations of belief to the place of perfection. This is true with any goal, anything, topic that you think of. There is a certain judgment that you make that it's maybe not too good, or it's maybe, okay, or it's wonderful. It is so heavenly. It is the best that can be. And you have likened then the friends, the family, to this scale, this gradation of not so good to okay to very good, perfect. And you do this very quickly, judging ones, even when you do not want to judge. It is something that you have practiced many, many lifetimes. And there have been lifetimes when it has been important to the body that you do instantaneous reaction and judgment so that you could defend the body and defend the loved ones. But no longer do you need to stay in that place of duality. You have already moved in this grouping to understanding how you can open the heart and be accepted for who you are and what you are. And you are opening the mind to understand that you are much more than what you have been taught that you are, so that you can live the life that is not vulnerable to any judgment, yours or anybody else's judgment. You're moving to that place of true isness and being okay, at home, at peace, with just who and what you are, and then taking delight in it, saying, this is who I am, and I am happy with who I am, and I am happy with the tones that I can hear. Always there is entertainment that your technology brings for you. It does not matter. I do not give the announcement ahead of time that cell phones must be turned off, because I like your technology. I like the different, what is called, ringtones. You have a variety of ringtones. And it is wonderful to hear them. If you walk through your stores, different ones, especially your grocery stores, you find many that are going through the grocery store with one hand on the shopping cart and one hand up to the ear, and asking, what should I bring home for dinner tonight? Or the tones, the ringtones, will be going off, and ones will pick it up, and they'll be talking, and you wonder, are they talking to me? Oh no, they're talking to this little thing they're holding up to their ear. Your technology is wonderful, and it is very musical, and it is wonderful to watch what you will choose as the ringtone, and the variety that you get to choose from. See how creative you are. It is a demonstration of your creativity. But as I was saying, you have agreed that you will live in a reality that yet believes in duality, the not so good all the way to the perfect. And you apply that to everything that you interact with and that you perceive. In not too far distant time, you are going to know the brothers and sisters who now you call the Space Brothers and Sisters. They are going to make themselves known to you and to the general population. Yes, they have been watching for a long, long time, waiting for a time of readiness, where they will not be judged, as they have been judged, to be a threat, where they will be seen as friend. Now, for a moment, if you can step out of this reality and imagine that you do not have to translate the belief in duality over to the Space Brothers and Sisters, the intelligence that exists in the universes, and see how you have placed, you collectively, have placed your value judgments onto what you believe the other universes, galaxies, spaceships, so forth, might be. If you can step outside of that, take a deep breath and imagine just for an instant that the universe that you live in is friendly. There is nothing to fear. The space brothers and sisters have been watching, waiting, wanting to make themselves known and to interact with you. But up until most recently, and for a little while yet, because of the belief in duality, there has been the judgment put upon the whole universe that there could be threat in the universe. But I say unto you, that is like making the anthropomorphic God, the God made in man's image, the God who could be jealous, the God who could be vengeful. You live in a reality of duality, but the space brothers and sisters, the rest of the universe, hear me well, does not live in duality. It lives in love. It lives in that positive energy and is waiting for your welcome, for your growing up to the place where you acknowledge them as friends and helpers that you have worked with in previous lifetimes. How do you think the pyramids got to be where they are? Space brothers, as you call them now, and sisters, if you want to do gender, truly, oftentimes there is not gender, helped you. You were here, they were here, together, you built pyramids and on this continent and abroad, pyramids that have withstood the test of time and weather, cultures that are still a testament to intelligence that goes beyond what you know right now. You have heard it said that they, whoever they are, will not allow you to explode Mother Earth, as has been done with another planet in previous time. And this is true. You will not allow it, because you have lived on another planet that the technology was so great and the lack of balance, as we spoke last night, of the heart and the mind was not there, to the place where there was a very big explosion, which you have the remnants now as the asteroid belt floating around in space. So you know how to do that. You have known how to do that. You have also seen the effects of it. So you will not allow that to happen to Holy Mother Earth, because you are not going to go that way. You have come a couple of times to the brink, and then you, as a collective consciousness, along with the intelligence that is not grounded here, have stepped back from the brink. So, in what you see to be a short time, according to the way I measure time, I know, it does not always correspond with your timing. There is going to be an opening of collective consciousness, understanding that the reality of duality is only here. It is not in the universe. The universe is open and loving and is energy, and it is not as a threat. Now, I do understand that because of reinforced experience that you have reinforced over lifetimes, when you would understand that there might be ones who had what seemed to be advanced technology, they could be a bit of a threat because they might be able to control. But that comes from a belief in fear and in duality. So take another deep breath and imagine a universe that is friendly, a universe that is just energy, loving energy, and is waiting for you individually and collectively to come to a place of joining, in that place of knowing oneness. Now I know you have been taught many, many lifetimes that you have to protect the body. After all, if something happens to the body, what is going to become of you? This has been the teaching, that you have to protect the body. But I say unto you, you have laid down the body multitudinous times, many, many times, and you have reincarnated for the fun of it. Not for the suffering of it, although oftentimes you have chosen a scripting that has a bit of the duality in it and it seemed to be suffering. But you have reincarnated, as you did for this lifetime, to come back and play with each other, to have groupings such as this, where you can have miracles that happen in the day, and you can be aware of the miracles, and you can rejoice in those miracles. And then you can know that you can take that awareness home, back to your dwelling place, wherever it may be, seemingly far away from here, but yet it isn't, because it is in your consciousness, so you have taken your dwelling place, your home, with you, right here. You can take that knowing and awareness of miracles, the possibility of them, right with you. And miracles happen all the time. Miracles happen naturally. And when they do not seem to happen, it is because your awareness has been focused on duality. So when you find yourself having a day of struggle, and I know that you do from time to time, take the deep breath and say to yourself, the universe is a friendly universe. I am loved, because you are. I am love itself. I see this all around me. And you do, as you look upon nature, as you feel the gentle wind, you feel the sunshine, you feel the rain, you feel the power of the storm sometimes. When you see the beloved pet, that will jump up and love you. When you see the friend who greets you and says, oh, I'm so happy to see you. It's been so long. I'm glad to see you once again. When that happens, you come alive in the heart. And you know that you are surrounded by friends. Friends who accept you as the point of light that you are. Some of you, nay, all of you, have tested this. You have been at your worst. You have hit rock bottom. You have cried out. You have screamed. You have said, I'm not doing it. This is really, really bad. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm done with it. I'm out of here. And then an idea has come. Well, maybe 5 more minutes. And in that 5 minutes, an idea has come. I can call someone, and maybe they will give me a piece of hope, a new way of looking at something. And you pull yourself back up again, and you go one more day in love. You find that, well, there is a friend who sees some good in me. And I honor them and their judgment. And if they see some good in me, maybe there's something good. I don't know. I don't see it. But it must be in there somewhere. And so you live the 5 minutes more the next day. And it goes on until you find yourself in a place where you're okay with yourself. You say, well, this is me. I've made choices. I called them mistakes, but truly they were only choices for the experience of it. And at the time, I thought perhaps what I was doing was a mistake when I was right in the middle of it. But it brought me to a certain place where I am now, and I can look back on the treasure of that choice. Because if I hadn't chosen that road, and if I hadn't gone down that road, I wouldn't know what was down there. So you are very wealthy in your experiences, in this lifetime and other lifetimes as well, because you do draw on the experiences of other lifetimes. And whenever you feel that you are caught up in duality, take that deep breath and remember that the belief in duality is only in this reality. The universe is a friendly universe. It does not know duality. Shocking idea. How can there be space, a place, a reality that doesn't have to defend itself? How can there be a reality that just is forever ongoing, creating, loving, being, beholding? We have spoken often of the role of the beholder. And when the world is too much with you, you step back and you behold the drama. And then you see what great actors and actresses you and your friends can be. Throughout this reality that believes in process, believes in time, believes that everything has to be just beyond the fingertips, in the future somewhere. It's right there, but I can't quite grasp it. But tomorrow I will, or next year, I know I'll get there. How about if you turn the hand over, instead of reaching out to grasp, you turn the hand over and you see what is in the hand. It's already there with you. The friendly universe. The friendly reality. And you bring it to the heart. Know you that as a scenes there was an acknowledgement, a sign that we, all of us, did to recognize each other, and it was the coming together of the hands, the left hand on the heart and the right hand over that. It was, as you have felt oftentimes, to feel the heart and to acknowledge that is the true power of being. In this lifetime, allow yourself, when you feel there is too much of the duality swirling around you, as I have said, if you feel you can't quite grasp the peace that you want, P-E-A-C-E, turn the hand over and recognize that it is there already and bring it to the heart and bring the other hand up and hold that to your heart. It will bring a sense of peace to you no matter what is going on around you. And you may find that others will do the same thing. Many of your statues that you see have this symbol of the hands on the heart. Oftentimes your angels are portrayed as having the hands on the heart, sometimes looking down, not downcast in sadness or in heaviness, but looking down to the power center of the heart. Be aware of feeling, of energies, of vibration. Be aware as you go through your day. Tomorrow, when you are experiencing the conscious breathing, be aware of the breathing, be aware of your own vibration, be aware of how every part of you is alive, vibrating. Be aware of how you feel each moment. And if, as I have said, it feels like it's just beyond the fingertips, turn the hand over and bring it to yourself. Because everything is within your consciousness. There is nothing outside of you. And you can allow yourself now to understand that the belief in duality has been for the sheer creativity. But the universe does not know it, does not know duality. So you have your most wonderful science fiction, but it is based on the belief in duality. It is based upon the starships that are always battling for the good, having to save the Federation from any outside source that might be threatening. But that is based in the belief in duality. And it is your science fiction, a tool to allow you to go beyond what you have thought could be. But it has yet a bit of the, what you call tweaking, to do. A bit of the shaping and molding and changing a bit. It's on the right track of showing you the beam me up, Scotty, of what you can do. How you are light particles, anchored only by belief. And when that changes, there is one in your midst who has experienced a lifetime of knowing how to walk 2 feet above the surface of the ground. He has known himself to be very light and to know the subconscious. It has not been a conscious knowing, but a subconscious knowing of light particles, so that he has lived in what you call now the geographical location, I believe, is called France, where he would walk 2 feet above the ground. And one would wonder, what's he doing? How can he do that? It is because he did not feel himself weighted down by the heaviness of the world. It was quite natural for him. And it is quite natural for some of your small ones when they are first learning, and this is what they have to do, as you have watched the small ones learning to walk. They do not have a feeling of what gravity is going to be doing, the belief in gravity. So therefore, sometimes they step off of something and you have to rush clear across the room and catch them because they have stepped off of a step somewhere, thinking that they're just going to be supported. And so you, in your belief and understanding of how gravity works, you run across the room and you catch them and you say, there, there, it's okay. Now, when you put the foot down, you watch where you put the foot, et cetera, et cetera, and you teach them how to go about in this belief system. But truly, they are coming from a place of understanding their lightness and understanding that they are not held by the laws of gravity and of heaviness. So they are your teachers, as you have seen. They are your teachers as they can laugh for almost no reason at all. They see something that is funny and immediately to them it is funny, they laugh. And you get caught up in the laughter sometimes too. Quite contagious. So take yourselves lightly as often as you can. Now, if you have, and you do, now an understanding that the universe is a friendly universe. It is energy. It is not out there containing threats to you. How does that make you feel? It makes you feel good. It makes you feel a little bit freer. What would you do if a space brother landed on your property down by your creek?
I'd salute him and say, how can I help you?
Yes. You would hug them. Yes, and say, what took you so long to get here? And they would say, what took you so long to welcome me? How would you feel about going into space? Yes.
I take it lightly.
You would take it lightly. The light would take it lightly, of course. This is going to be your reality in not too far future. You are going to be able to go into space.
This lifetime.
If you so decree. Depends on how long you think you're going to live, too, in this lifetime. You already have tested the laws of gravity. The time when you were on your roof and all of a sudden then you were on the ground. Well, it was a joyful ride, was it not? A bit short, a bit fast. But you found yourself in space. Take a deep breath and imagine how it would feel not to know gravity. Yes. Now, you might want to attach a little string to yourself, like the balloon, so that you could have a bit of grounding for the first time, or not. But imagine how free you are. Now, as long as you are working with the collective consciousness and you are still agreeing that you are going to have the particles of light and dust together as a body, you have to give some credence and honor to the collective laws of gravity and other physical qualities. So I do not suggest that you walk out of here this evening and say, oh, okay, I don't have to worry about walking down steps. I'll just
float.
Yes, float down. I'll fly. How many of you have had the dream of flying? There you go. How many of you have had the dream where you were on the top step of a flight of stairs and the next thing you knew you were at the bottom? You didn't have to do step by step. Right. Those are not dreams. Those are remembrances. All of you have known how to fly. All of you have had the experience of flying as spirit, as energy, light energy. But all of you also have known the incarnation as the bird, different types of bird. All of you have known how to fly and to have the perspective from the heights rather than being down on the ground and having to look up to everything. All of you know how it feels to be free to fly. Now I'm saying to you, you can be free even beyond what the birds know, because the birds have to, they yet share the collective consciousness that they may have predators. So they have to be on the lookout for bigger birds. So there is yet the belief in duality. But if you will move beyond that to the place where you know yourself to be free, to fly, know that yet you have agreed that you will work with the physical body, but the spirit does not know limitation. And when you lay the head upon the pillow in this evening, just before you drift off somewhere, remember how it feels to fly. Remember that freedom. And feel light. And perhaps ask for a dream that you can remember in the morning of flying. When you meet the space, as you call them, space brothers and sisters, There is going to be, as there was when you came together in this grouping, an instant familiarity. Because the Space Brothers, as you yet term them and call a distance between yourself and them, have been with you as Essenes, have been with you in Atlantis, have been with you in Lemuria. They have been with you when first you came to bring life to this most wonderful sphere of light known as Holy Mother Earth. They are friends that you have worked with, that you have laughed with, that you have had the revelations and the ideas with. And when you meet them, it is going to be very much the same as it was when you walked in here. Once maybe perhaps you had not met in this lifetime yet. You walked in and you felt some of you as a stranger or not. And you met someone and you knew that you had not seen them with the physical eyes in this lifetime yet. But there was a familiarity that you felt, a welcoming that you knew was here. And it will be the same because the universe is a friendly universe. And when you read accounts that talk about threat, know that that is coming from a place of the reality that believes in duality yet. But it is old, old thinking. You have a rumor, a story, that I am commander of a spaceship. And I am. I will tell you a rumor, and actually a truth. You are also commanders of spaceships. Your experience, how many hours in a day are you focusing upon this life? 16? Something like that. Maybe more if your boss says you have to work overtime. But you are not just living this lifetime. When you are in the dream state, where do you go? Where do you go? Anywhere. Exactly. Anywhere you want to go. Different places that sometimes when you wake up, you can say, I was with a friend or so, and you can identify it. Other times you wake up and you say, there are no words to describe it, but it felt good. It was something, but I can't really tell you, but it felt familiar. You have been focusing then, in those hours, as you measure time, and you have been outside of time, you have been focusing upon another dimension of yourself, capital S. And you have been in the friendly universe. Sometimes if you have been heavily imbued with the video before you have gone to sleep, about spaceships and about conflict, you may carry that over into the dream state. And when you wake up, you say, oh, I was dreaming this horrific, terrible dream where everyone was fighting everyone. But that is the influence from the belief in duality and the influence of what perhaps you have put into the mind before you went to sleep. And you have been somewhere else. And then you wake up, and there is a leftover from the evening before. And that is all it is, a leftover. It's an old belief system. So you can program, as they call it, your dreams. You can say, hey, I want to have happy dreams. I want to know the friendly universe. That is your assignment, your little bit of homework for tonight. When you lay the head upon the pillow, say, I want to experience the friendly universe. I want to know Mary Magdalene and to walk with her in the garden. I want to know Joseph. I want to know Joseph of Arimathea. I want to remember an Essene lifetime where all of my friends who look a bit different and are clothed a bit different in this day and time, but they were there with me. I want to know, how does it feel to be in this spaceship and to look down upon the jewel of Holy Mother Earth? You have, from your technical scientists and the adventurers, you have now the pictures that have been beamed back that show you the beautiful beauty of Holy Mother Earth. And this is not the only planet you have ever lived on. So you can call that up if you want. How does it feel? What does it look like? Another planet that I've had lifetime on. And remember. Tell yourself, I will remember in the morning, at least a part of it. And I will be expecting tomorrow evening when we meet to have some reports. A little bit of homework. Yes. Now, beloved ones, it might be a good time to have a break, to recharge the bodies, to put some water into the body, to recharge it, to release a little bit of the water if that is necessary. And then in 12 minutes of your timing, we will meet again. So be it. So be it. Thank you. It's called turning the switch on. But yes, the message that we had in the beginning, I know, has sparked some questions within you, and perhaps you want to take it a bit farther. So therefore, we will entertain questions, and they will entertain us. Okay, beloved scribe in the back, you're going to need a microphone. I'm sure there's something here. Here we go. Yes, the electronic talking stick.
Just like... Hello?
Hello.
Just like to make sure I understood, you said Earth is the only 3D planet in the universe?
No, I did not say that.
Only. So there are some 3D planets...
Yes.
Without duality.
Well, yes. Many. The percentage of planets that are inhabited by intelligence, capital I, are not in the belief system of duality. The planets where there is what you call life, is the planets are, the percentage is what I'm trying to say, is very low. But this happens to be one of them.
But we read that those who are not finished with duality, when Earth goes to a higher dimension, they will have to incarnate on another planet.
That is not true.
Uh-huh.
It will seem to be that way, because ones will have ascended the old belief system, but there will still be ones working through their issues on Holy Mother Earth in the 3D consciousness.
And there will still be interaction between them and the ones who have graduated slightly.
If there is desire to do that, yes.
Or not, then.
Right.
Okay.
It will be a choice.
We spoke of the friendliness of ETs.
Right.
And some in my studies have shown that those from Orion may be not the friendly types to assist us, but more to take over our minds. Would you address that, please?
It is, again, an old belief that has come out of the belief in duality. In truth, it is a friendly universe, and the constellations are friendly. But you have to have drama. Collective consciousness, human consciousness, loves drama. Why do you go to your videos and your theaters? You want to have the adrenaline pumped up a bit. You want to have the good versus the bad, and you want to have the white hats win. And so you go, and it's almost finger-biting time. You know, who's going to win? You're on the edge of the seat waiting to see who's going to rush in at the last moment. Is this spaceship from a certain constellation going to come in and save everyone, or vice versa type of thing? But it is all grounded in the belief in duality. And when you have various entities, ascended masters as they may be called, giving forth information that there are unfriendly planets and unfriendly extraterrestrials, it is because there has been an old, old belief that has been instilled in the filter, the one who is giving it forth. It is the same as I have said about the dream. Sometimes if you have watched a conflicting dream right before you went to sleep, the dream may be of conflict as a leftover type of thing. So that there has been for many, many eons of generations of time this belief in duality and the possibility of threat. Now, the holy child cannot be threatened. The holy child is not vulnerable to anything or anyone. That is the truth of your being. But the collective consciousness says, okay, that sounds good, and I'll get around to that sometime, just beyond the fingertips in the future. But right now, I want to be excited. I want the drama. And so some of the channelers of other times have brought through. There's a couple of factors working here. One being that there is a leftover belief that is coming through the filter of the channeling person who is channeling. There is also the leftover of what ones want to experience yet. And so you manufacture these stories. But that is all they are, stories. And there has been an evolution of consciousness changing. You have felt this yourself over the past few years. You have felt it yourself even in this day, a change in consciousness in your own and in the collective, where I will say that the collective was not ready yet to accept that there could be a friendly universe and there's absolutely nothing to fear. What a thought. Well, that feels really dull as dishwater. I don't want that. I want to know that there are spaceships out there that are going to be battling for the good, and for they're going to come and protect me, and they're going to take all of the good of us off of this planet when everything goes to you know where in a handbasket. I want to be in that drama. So Jeshua comes along and he says, okay, forget all of that. There's nothing out there that's going to threaten you. It's a friendly universe. Well, that really sounds boring. Until you begin to understand how much fun you have, like in a grouping here, where there is no threat to you. Everyone is accepting you for who and what you are and what your talents are and how much laughter and joy there is. And that's not boring. So you can look at a friendly universe and say, hey, there's going to be a lot of joy, excitement, even good drama in it. I don't have to go for the threatening drama. But it takes a shift in consciousness. It takes a shift in the willingness. And that's what I am throwing out to you in this evening, is the suggestion. Play with, that's why I said take the deep breath and play with the idea that it might just be a friendly universe. And all of the stories of spaceships that are going to come and threaten this planet or are going to threaten the Federation, etc. And the Federation, as you can see, is just a projection of what you have of the countries and the geopolitical groupings here on Holy Mother Earth. The Federation is just a bigger conglomeration of what you already know here. So if you stop for a moment and breathe, then you can get a new perspective. And as I have said, just because there isn't the threat of something that you have to watch out for doesn't mean it's going to be dull as dishwater. And some of your dishwater isn't that dull. It can be really soapy. Yes.
So the first part is I just want to make sure that there's, as Ted said, there's going to be still one earth, but yet there's many realities within that earth. And wherever you project yourself, that's where you will be.
Exactly.
Okay? So some of the other channelings you hear, 12 days of light, 3 days of darkness, the golden age. So maybe just comment on that. I think it's going to be absolutely glorious and something we've never seen before, correct?
It is something that you have seen before because you have lived in golden ages before. Where would that idea come from if it wasn't a remembrance? But yes, there are going to be many levels of realities on Holy Mother Earth. Right now, as we speak, this room has other dimensions living in it with other belief systems. This grouping has a collective belief that things can evolve, that things can change, that there can be beauty and love and gentleness, the gentle voice, the gentle heart. But also within this, what you call space, in another dimension, you have ones who are knocking each other against the rocks. So yes, you do choose, and you do project yourself where you want to be. That is why you came here.
Thank you, Jeshua, for this line of questioning. I need help.
Yes.
I was given years ago a portrait of an extraterrestrial that somebody took out of the files of the military.
Yes.
And I asked to borrow it for a week. It was life-size, but only the head. It was a beautiful being, androgynous.
Yes.
Loving eyes.
Yes.
But no nose, just a little...
Right.
And very little mouth.
Right.
And I had it by my bedside, and I was talking and wanting to get used to it and make friends. And then I would pretend that my doorbell would ring at home, and this being comes to visit me.
Right.
And my test to myself was, am I ready to receive this person? And intellectually, no problem. But when that doorbell would ring and I'd go out and it was this being, my blood would, I mean, my emotions completely failed me.
Yes.
So my emotions are retarded as far as accepting the differentness of this being.
Yes.
Can you give me an exercise, a suggestion how to overcome this?
Yes, it is very easy. Do not deny the first habitual reaction. Mm-hmm. It has been ingrained throughout many, many lifetimes as being necessary that if there is something different, a stranger, a barbarian comes, you must take precaution, allow the adrenaline to either flee the scene or prepare to do battle or whatever. That has been reinforced over many lifetimes. So do not deny that reaction.
Can't.
Exactly. It comes up very quickly.
Yes.
But then breathe and know that truly you meet as one. You especially, because you have done practice, you are going to be able to move into the second phase very easily, very quickly. It is the truth, it's true when you meet a stranger comes to your door. If you have been raised in a household that says you have to fear strangers, anybody who comes to the door, you have to fear them, do not let them in, then that is going to be your reaction when anyone rings the doorbell. But if you have been raised in a family that says you can open the door and invite them in and let them sup with you, then you have a different reaction, even though there may be a bit of what is called the common sense that says, make sure you feel that this is...
Yeah, the appearance override the knowing that this is a benign situation every
exactly.
time. So keep on doing it.
And know that truly it is not the appearance that is important, because 99.99% of the ones that you will be meeting will try to take on human appearance.
Oh, okay.
But that is not their true appearance as they would see themselves.
Who they really are.
Right. But they will try to take on appearance so that they do not frighten the wits out of you. They may be successful to a certain degree, but there may not be a nose, and the mouth may be small, and the eyes may be slanted a bit. But you expect to see a certain form, at least you hope to, that will not be too terrifying. Later on, the form will not matter, because you will feel the spirit and the intelligence of that one, and also the remembrance of how you have been in other lifetimes. You have not always incarnated with this body, this way of being upright on two feet, nose, eyes, mouth, ears, etc. You've been all different types of forms.
Thank you. I needed that.
Good.
Yes. In the times of Egypt before when they helped us.
Yes.
Could you please talk about those times a little bit? Because I would think it was a oneness of spirit that was far beyond what we remember.
Yes.
And maybe if you could help me remember, I could feel that again, because I would think the oneness that was there can come here again.
Yes.
The same oneness.
Yes.
And to see beyond what we see and to see the Christ in everything that is. So.
I think he's got it. It was and is a oneness where it was not just you and them, us and them type of thing. It was a joining, a unison of intelligence working together. And there was not a feeling of difference or distance. It was a common understanding of a goal, of what wanted to be put into manifest form, a common vision that was held. And the ones that you would now say that were off Earth, extraterrestrial, were truly walking the Earth the same as you are now, and knew themselves, as you knew yourself then, to be multidimensional. And that is going to come again into the consciousness, into your consciousness and into the collective consciousness, because that is what the collective consciousness really yearns to know. Wants to know oneness, wants to know friendly universe, wants to know divinity. But it has also wanted to know drama. Yes.
Joshua, you were saying that the beings can manifest human form.
Yes.
Are they shape-shifting their bodies, or are they manifesting fresh human forms, like you mentioned, that we will be able to do sometime?
All of the above. They are shape-shifting in a way that you remember deep within the consciousness of how to do, because you have shifted your shape in other incarnations long time ago as you measure the process of time. But they are also able to be the energy of just intelligence that then can take on an appearance that may or may not be too strange. It depends on what is invited. Mm-hmm. For many, what will be invited is something familiar, so that there is not a feeling of the barbarian and needing to flee. For others who have expanded and want to see other forms and remember other forms that you have lived, other times, then they may appear differently.
So when we were on Maldak, the yes. planet that was blown up, did we have this more like this human form and traveled in spaceship to this Earth?
It was a different form than the human form as you know it now. It was more fluid, and it was more centered in the head, the larger heads, because that was more of the focus of the technology, so that the rest of the body was not all that important. There were ones who walked on all fours. They are amongst you even now.
The cats.
Yes, and dogs. The cows, the horses, all of the ones, the different forms. Even the one now, believe it or not, the millipede.
The what?
The millipede. Yes, with all of the feet that you do not have to buy shoes for.
Did we also bring the whales with us?
Yes. Yes. As an idea that then manifested as a vision, as an idea. Because when life form came here, it was not physical. There were spaceships, yes, but the intelligence that went on the spaceship was not physical. It was intelligence. And the visioning came first, before the life forms upon Holy Mother Earth. You even have some of this that has been handed down, the oral tradition of stories of the time when life first came. And there is yet a rendering that has a grain of truth in it. For at first there was darkness, and the waters were upon the earth, etc. So there is a rendering that still has truth in it.
Like the statement, the word was made flesh?
Yes. Which has to do with the visioning, the vision of being made flesh, yes. How to manifest it in its different forms. And we have spoken other times that we have, because I was part of all of this, manifested many different forms, some of which we found didn't work too well. And we found that the physicality, spirit could, but physicality could not run through the tree. And so there was a running up and a splat. And we decided, okay, have to change, yes, back to square one with that. Have to change some of the forms and the ideas. There was a lot of experimenting. You have the mythical creatures in your legends that were half man, half animal, and that was a truth. You did experience, and you did experiment to see how would it feel. And then you decided that you wanted the form that is now in fashion. Understand what I have just said, now in fashion, because it will be changing. You see this even now, even with what is in vogue from time to time. Cast your mind back 30 years. What was the fashion 40 years, 50 years ago? And where are you now with the fashions, etc.? Things change. You want to try something different. You want another bubble or two in the dishwater.
And before I give this to other people, I just wanted to know, will you help us in learning how to use this energy to manifest even what seems like simple healings if we look at it from the big picture, but are hard to do for us, I guess, because of our consciousness, something like growing a tooth or, you know, regenerating a limb or other
yes.
things that other creatures seem to be able to do. And
yes.
we have forgotten to do.
That is coming back. Seemingly slowly, but it is coming back. Yes.
Good evening, Jeshua.
Good evening.
It's been several years since I've had the chance to talk to you about this subject. This morning I went for coffee and was drinking my coffee and had an urging to do some of my spirit writing again.
Right.
And it was a short message, but it was, felt very strong about it. Now I just wonder if there's a comment about it. I'm continuing to do that, but this morning seemed to be something special that I hadn't, felt I hadn't done before. I don't know if you'd make a comment about that.
Yes. You are getting closer to the one who is channeling, as you understand channeling, through you. You are getting closer to a oneness of understanding not only what is written, but the spirit of what is being given to you. That is why you felt the strength of it in this morning. That is going to continue to grow. Truly, what you are writing is from yourself, capital S, the self of you that has lived in other civilizations and on other planetary forms. It is an ancient writing as you measure time. But what is going to be important, and you have already felt this, is the strength of the emotion that is attached with it.
I felt that this morning.
Yes. And it is going to grow to the place where it is not really going to matter that it looks strange or that you want to decipher it. It will decipher itself in your feelings. That is why you have not been able to find anyone who would read it for you.
Yes, I found that out.
Yes, you have tried. But it will decipher itself within you because it comes from what you would call a karmic ancestor of you, a self of you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
Knowing that in the consciousness of the One, it includes everything that includes everyone everywhere.
Right.
When our space brothers come and they make contact, it would seem to me that the reason for it would be for some purpose in helping the planet, in which there would be an allegiance or a work together, something that they see that we can do more than maybe what we're doing. I don't know just what they have in mind, but it would seem that they would have some real purpose behind it, some real...
You are speaking from a place that is goal-oriented. In other words, there has to be reason, there has to be purpose, there has to be a goal. In truth, what it is going to be is a family reunion.
I like that better.
Yes. Then there will be topics that will be discussed, and there will be projects, as you call them, that will be worked on.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, it is going to be just a family reunion.
Good. Yeah, that's the way it should be.
Good.
Good evening, Jeshua.
Good evening, beloved one.
I wanted to thank you for the most wondrous Easter celebration that we had together.
It was truly wondrous.
And I wanted to thank you very much for that wondrous opportunity to be there.
It was a family reunion, was it not?
Yes, it was.
Yes.
And to say thank you for enjoying the basket.
Yes.
That was there for you. I have some personal questions, and perhaps it also applies to everyone else. Currently, right now, I'm having a problem with my eye.
Yes.
And perhaps that is because I'm trying to clear so much.
Yes.
And get a little lighter as everyone else is.
Yes.
And ascend a little higher and feel the vibration of love. I'd just like to ask about that and then see how it applies to everyone else in the clearing and the seeing clearer.
This is very important. As you will understand what is going on with the eye, you know that in the future, in a few days, it is going to heal itself. It is going to be fine. It is very much as we spoke of, it's just beyond the fingertips. In other words, it's in the future. for any of you who are working with a physical imbalance of any sort, put your hand out with the palm down towards the floor and realize that the body is going to heal itself in the future. Now turn it over so that the palm is up and put that hand over whatever part of the body seems to need a bit of the healing. Feel the warmth. Feel the energy. There is truly a vibration of energy that is happening. And keep the hand there as long as it feels good, as long as it feels right. For what you are doing is bringing in the truth of what seems to be the future into right now. And breathe. And release. Breathe and release. Breathe and release. It is done. It is as simple as that. Because you know that it is going to be happening in the future. What are you waiting for?
Does it have to be left hand?
No, it can be either hand. Right. Or it can be both hands. If you happen to need both hands. Yes.
In your talk during the month of Easter, you talked about when you brought Lazarus back to life.
Yes.
You made the statement that it wasn't a situation of, say, if you want to come back to life, Lazarus, please do. You used vocal force in saying, Lazarus, come back to life.
Yes, come forth.
Now, why, what are the stumbling blocks in many of us, and I visualize healing for people. I pray for healing with people. The people seem to me as wanting the healing. Why doesn't that healing take place in the speed that you were able to do with many of the people that you healed? I know also that many of the people you healed, it took some time
right.
to bring the healing about.
And there were some that I could not give the energy to them for the healing.
Because they didn't want it?
It was at a soul level, a soul agreement. Healing of the body happens on different levels and different reasons. Sometimes ones will choose at the soul level, not a conscious level, to have a dis-ease and to hold on to that dis-ease because they are serving the brothers and sisters, allowing the brothers and sisters to be compassionate and to look past appearance. Other times there is soul agreement, as there was with Lazarus, that he would make demonstration to reactivate the body, even though he had been deceased, as it was called, for some 3 days. But there was soul agreement. So what it goes back to is you make opportunity, you offer opportunity, you hold the vision of their wholeness, and you know their wholeness, and then you allow whatever is their soul choice. And it may be that they will heal the body right then and there, because there will be a contagion of energy that says, okay, this is the time now. Other times there will be a longer period for the healing to take place because, again, there has been soul agreement that it will take longer. Other times it is soul agreement that they will decease that body and come back with another body, maybe another gender or another culture. You do not know another one's soul choice. You can only offer opportunity. And you do not judge self if the healing doesn't happen right away.
Okay.
Because I of myself, you of yourself, as you understand your individual self, can do nothing except offer the opportunity. It is the spirit within the Father, as I have called it, that doeth the work. And it goes back to the soul agreement.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
I wanted to ask you a question about myself liking sci-fi pictures.
Oh, yes.
And I'm beginning to embody them even more. Actually, I can really see within what they're doing.
Yes.
And my preparing to be a part of the coming of the Space Brothers.
Yes.
Definitely. Am I an aspect of somebody coming is an aspect of me?
Yes.
It's like, am I flying a ship?
Yes.
That's what I thought. I've been thinking that for some time, but I didn't, you know, how you feel about yourself. So, oh, no, not me.
Right. But yes.
But I am.
Yes. All of you are multidimensional.
Okay.
And you do the miracle of focusing upon this dimension and this small self. Yeah. And it is a miracle that you can keep the focus so trained that you think, this is me. And these are my attributes and so forth. But you're multidimensional. And even as we speak, you are flying a spaceship.
I feel that.
Yes. Yeah. So it is okay. You don't necessarily go out and tell the whole world right away.
No. Even though they do think that I'm, you know, a little weird anyway. And I tell them I'm from another planet and they listen.
Yes. And they understand. It is very good because you are opening doors and windows where they did not know there might be a door or a window. You let them expand their consciousness with new ideas.
Anybody who's...
Yes.
I'll stand up. This is the first time I've talked to you this way.
Very good, yes. This way.
This way.
Right.
This is a personal question.
Yes.
Recently, I let the person that I've loved for several years go.
Yes.
And I lost my job within the same day.
Yes.
And I've been trying to find my way.
Right.
And I was offered a new job, but not in a place that I truly want to be. So I'm scared that where I want to be, I'm not going to find the job.
Ah.
And the person that I love is still in my life, and I don't know what to do. I'm kind of lost.
Right.
And scared.
Yes. That is the human self of you, and that is very normal to have feelings like that. What you can do that is going to help is to take the deep breath and to stand back from all of the drama and watch how it is a most wonderful play, as you would watch a play upon the stage at the theater, and see your part in it, and see the other ones, their parts in it as well. It will help you detach a bit. That will then give you wider perspective of choices. What is happening right now for many of you, you are undergoing changes. Some of you are changing employment. Many of you are changing the dwelling place. You are wondering, what is happening? Why is my world in upheaval? It is because you have decreed that you want to evolve, that you want to understand the power of love and the power of freeing that love and knowing that truly you cannot hold love, human love, to yourself, but you can let it go. And that it will stay with you. No one can ever take that love that you have for the other one away from you. But you cannot hold on to anyone. You cannot own another person. All of you realize that at different times, with different loved ones, different mates, and with family members as they decease the body. You want to hold on to them, and it is a natural, normal feeling in the human drama. But in truth, you cannot lose them either, because they are always with you, and the love that you have for them, you will always have that. They cannot take it away from you. No matter what their drama seems to be, they cannot take away your feeling of love for them. They may go and team up with someone else, and you feel that that's not right. But what you feel for them as love, as true love, you will always keep and you will always treasure. When certain things seem to leave you, the most wonderful attitude to have is, this, I want this, or something better. And truly, what is preparing itself for you is something better. But you cannot see that when you're right in the middle of it. You can ask friends who have come through challenges, and they thought that truly this was going to be the undoing of them. If they didn't have this certain person in their life, life was not worth living. They were not going to be able to go on. That everything was going to fall to pieces. And then they hung in there for a while. They explored different avenues. And in a certain length of time, they found themselves in a different situation, and they looked back and they said, it has been a blessing. I would not be here where I am now, as what seems to be future, if all of this hadn't happened. And so truly what happened and seemed to be such a tragedy has been a blessing, because it has brought me to this greater place, this place of happiness, that I wouldn't have known if I had stayed in the old circumstances. But when you're in the place of having to let go, human self fights tooth and nail to hold on. And yet the best thing is to let it go and to know that you are divinely guided. You especially, and all of you in this room, know that you are divinely guided. You see that throughout even a day's time as to how you are divinely guided. Your angels are working with you. Truly, for some of you, they're working overtime. And your angels are very much, have always worked with you. You will always be taken care of. You will always have friends. You will always have love in your life. So take that rope, tie a knot on the end of it, and hold on. Because what is coming is even better. You can trust. That is truly what oftentimes you want to know through the challenges. You want to know trust. And you may feel that the human self lets you down. And the human self often will, but it only lets you down to where the knot in the rope is. It won't let you down all the way. You won't slip off. And you can trust. And then you come through it stronger. Trust, because what you are moving into is going to be beautiful. And you are going to feel yourself opening more than you ever have. You have, I do not often prophesy because my timing is not of your world. So I will not give you timing, because it just doesn't work. But what you are moving into is a most wonderful chapter. You are finishing an old chapter that has been based on old beliefs, and they have served you well, but you are moving into a new chapter now where you are going to say, wow, hey, this is great. How strong I am. And you're going to know it. You're going to feel it, and nobody is going to be able to take that knowing away from you. So I speak to you individually, but it is also true for many of the rest of you as you walk into new chapters, because many of you are walking into new chapters, and the human self says, I don't know. I want to stay with the old because it's familiar. It may not be comfortable, but it is familiar. And this new chapter, I don't know what it holds. Well, you do know what holds you. Your divinity, your divine self, holds you and is preparing the new chapter for you. And it will be beautiful. In what you see is 6 months' time, I want you to come back and tell me. Is that an agreement?
Yes.
Very good.
Can I ask you a second part of that question?
Yes.
I've taken about a few months of steps forward and done a lot of my intuitive knowing of where I need to go.
Right.
And the person that I was considering spending the rest of my life with has shown up again. And I'm just not sure if I can trust that, because there was no betrayal. But I don't know that he's ready.
Yes.
Even though I've always been ready.
Right. You have put your finger on the issue. Oftentimes, the male gender is a bit slower. Give him time. Give him space. If he is truly the one, he will come back and stay with you. If he is not the one, then you will have freed him and freed yourself.
Thank you.
Thank you for asking that, because oftentimes it is a challenge in human life of wanting to give love and to be loved. And oftentimes you will focus upon a certain person and want them to be the recipient of your love and to be there for you always and to understand you, to really understand the real me, when sometimes you don't understand the real me of you. And so they give you opportunity to work through a lot of issues of knowing yourself. It is good. It is what you call growth, and it has much of blessing in it. Meantime, if you are going through any kind of situation like that, focus upon the friends and their support, and do not focus just on one person. You have a saying in your world not to put all of your eggs in one basket. Look at all the friends around you and how they love you. And give him time. Give him space. They're slow. Now, beloved ones, it has been my great joy to be amongst you in this way, to be able to give you a new idea to play with, the friendly universe, and how your stories have been based on duality thinking, very heavily influenced by what you have taught yourself has to be real. And yet it is only real temporarily. It has been my great joy to play with the questions, to play with the spirit that pervades this grouping, the spirit of friendship, the spirit of love, the spirit of hope that believes in the best of everything. Give each other the hugs as you leave. Share the love tangibly with the hugs. And we will meet again on the morrow. So be it.
So be it.
Yes, let's do the hug.